Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello folks, and you're very welcome back to another episode of the Irish Farmers Journal Young Stock Podcast. I'm Noel Barden, news correspondent here at the Journal, and I'll be your host for this week when we'll be joined by Enda Walsh, who's a dairy farmer from just outside Oranmore, County Galway. Enda is looking to calve down 320 crossbred cows with his parents on a home farm this year and was recently appointed as Dairy Council Farm Ambassador. We're going to be chatting to Enda a little bit about his decision to go back farming straight out of college. We'll talk about the mindset needed for going back to the home farm and farming day in, day out with your parents, as well as the importance of labour on the farm during the busy calving period. It started off by asking Enda to explain to us a little bit about his system, what kind of system they're running down in Oranmore.
Thanks very much for having me on, Noel. It's a great podcast and it's fantastic to get the opportunity to speak on it. As you said there now, we're calving down 320 crossbred cows this year. And where we came from was my father has always been milking here, and he would have 50 cows winter milk in 2001, and he would have switched over then to spring calf. And then over the years, through availability of land and things like that, he would have increased the herd. Today, as it stands now, we've quite a fertile herd. Like we're in the middle of calf now at the moment. We have 80 calf to date. And we'll probably hit our medium calving date in about 10 days. So the first 3 weeks are very hectic, as you can imagine.
It is, yeah, that is very compact, even for the top performing herds. Say you're flat out just for those couple of weeks, but it all pays off really compacting it down short a period as possible.
I always say one good year leads into the next, because the earlier they calf down, the more time they have to recover from breeding, and days of milk is one of the key performance indicators. So it's definitely a main focus on the farm. So we're quite well staffed now this year. It can always be tricky to get staff first and foremost, and to get skilled staff and qualified staff when you have such a compact calving, because there's a severe intensity there at the start of the year. But we're lucky enough now, we have myself and my father, and then we have a full-time lad, Andrew King, with us the last 3 years. And then we have an array of part-time this year now. So we kind of would usually not have so many part-time, but I've kind of learned over the years it's better to overstaff and have a lad spare than to be understaffed and constantly desperately trying to catch a hold of someone. And then my brother is an electronic engineer down in Limerick, but he comes around every weekend. He loves the bit of farming at the weekends and things like that. And then I couldn't leave out my mother either. She's probably the most important woman in the household, and she does a lot of the feeding of the baby calves, and that's the slow work, as we all know. So she's a great help to have around, and both my parents are a massive help on the farm. I can't go understated either.
Absolutely. It sounds like you have a lot of help that'll definitely be needed all the same. For maybe to pull things back a bit, you went farming 2014, I think it was, you mentioned before. Was that always the plan to head straight back home, or was travel ever on your mind, or the idea of going out and doing something else?
Yeah, well, it was always the plan to go farming. And as I said there, I've only one brother. He's an electronic engineer down in Limerick. So it was evident from an early age that I was going to be the successor. So my kind of whole leaving cert kind of curtailed towards agriculture. Like it was always going to be agriculture. I didn't put anything else down in the CAO other than ag science in Mount Bellew and dairy business in UCD. So it was always going one direction. My dad was very encouraging to travel while I could, and there was no pressure being put from him to say, right, you have to come back farming now. He was very encouraging to go to college. Even at that, like I went to UCD, I could have probably stayed a bit more local and helped out a lot more on the farm, but he was very encouraging to go out and just kind of stand on my own two feet and get to experience the college lifestyle, because if your whole life are farming, and whatever I got through education through UCD, I gained a lot more through a social aspect as well of meeting people and just becoming the person I am today, really. So that was a great advantage of going to UCD. I would have kind of been conscious going through college that I don't want to fly through college, do nothing farming, and then go straight back farming, and then an awful lot of my friends nowadays, and I'm sure everyone's in the same boat, their friends are gone to Australia at 30 years of age and things like that. Well, that would be kind of detrimental to the business now at the moment if I used to just take off and go to Australia for a year. Now, I'm sure there's a will and a way with the right people employed, but I kind of wanted to come back to the firm when I was content and fulfilled, say, for want of a better word, and ready to get going. So each summer I would have went away during college, and even for the year or two, you said I came back farming in 2015, I was very much a boy, kind of just helping out in the farm for the 2015, 2016, because I was still going away during the summers. It was very easy to get summer relief and lads looking for work during the summer. So it kind of worked out well that I'd stay around for the busy period and maybe the winter and then hit off during the summer. So I got another 2 summers of traveling there. So it was working well. I never directly went abroad for a prolonged period other than going to New Zealand for 6 months as part of the course. But it kind of worked well to go away for 3 or 4 months at a time during the summer when the heavy workload was off and come back then. So when I came back then, say, like, I would have gone back 2015, but when I would have rightly started putting my own stamp on the business, I would say it'd be kind of 2016, 2017. And from there, then I remember thinking back in the day, I'm awful lucky, like, I can't state how much of a genius my father is really in the agricultural world. So I was great to have him as an understudy, say. I remember thinking that, geez, how will I ever take over the whole business? But bit by bit, it was kind of incremental. You know, I got more responsibilities on the day-to-day sort of lifestyle. Like, I first took over the calf rearing, and then the next thing I took over the grassland management, and step by step, and the breeding then closely followed. Like, so there was never just one day where Dad just went, right, here's everything to you. He was always kind of coaxing me through each opportunity, and it was great to have him as a teacher, really, because I always say you can read how to drive a car, but it's not until you sit in the driving seat that you learn how to drive a car. So it was very much the same farming wise. Like, college was a great education and things like that, but I really did all my learning when I came back home then and started to manage things.
It wasn't an overnight shift or anything like that. Would that be a bit of advice maybe for young people going back farming, not to expect to take over the reins and completely change tack on day one, to kind of have maybe a bit of a transition period there where you're still learning on the job, even though, as you said, like, you would have been well involved in the farm the whole way along? Do you think that would be a bit of advice you'd give to young people looking to the family farm, that there is still that experience built up there? You do have to listen to those that have been at it for a lot longer than yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of crucial that you don't return home and don't try and change everything overnight and say, we're doing it this way. Now, I'm awful lucky, to be honest, that everything I learned in college, I used to come home, and Dad has been doing it for the last 10 years anyway. He would have based the dairy farm, once he went spring calfing, off the New Zealand model of low-cost grass-based, and it was very much whatever I was learning in college about best practice he was doing anyway. So I was coming home to a farm that we were implementing most of the practices anyway. So while we do have our natural disagreements from time to time, we're kind of channeling the right direction. So it can be more troublesome for someone to come home and be facing into, say, maybe a business or a firm that's been there their whole life and trying to change everything from day one. But definitely, I think you can't underestimate what your parents have to teach you. Like, they've taught you a lot through life, and you learn a lot more from them too if you come back with an open mind. And I think communication has to be at the forefront too. Like, an awful lot of communication breakdowns are the cause of a lot of problems. Like, I think if you just talk your way through a lot of things, it's easier said than done at times. But just if you come home and you have ideas, it's important to just speak your ideas and see how they go down, and then maybe meet in the middle ground or a bit of compromise or something like that, or just the general chit chat of where the farm is going. Because if you want to employ a different model of farming, like, you can't just do it in one day. Like, it has to be a process of acceptance, and it's very hard to get people to change something they've done their whole life as well. So definitely proceed with caution, like, but communication is very important, but equally just come to the table with an open mind and don't necessarily dismiss everything they've done before you.
That communication piece really is essential, be it on farm succession or on just the general direction of the farm and what kind of systems are going on, or what's going on day to day. Maybe if we were to pull you closer to where you are now, is there any recent changes that you would have implemented on farm, or any big changes since you did kind of start getting more involved? Had it been those gradual changes over years? Anything to do with the system, or is there anything that you learned maybe in New Zealand that you wanted to push on with a bit more?
I think the biggest thing for me coming home, part of me always wished that I had an opportunity, say, to go to a farm that I could turn it around inside out and make a huge difference and put my own massive stamp on it. But coming home to Dad, like, everything I wanted to do, he was already doing. So Dad would always say he's a 90% man and he'd get things to 90% and he'd move on to the next focus point. So I think when I came back, I would have chased a lot of the percentages, just honed in on the breeding, animal performance, things like that. Just really kind of finalized the details in farming. I would have brought a lot of efficiencies too, because whilst I came home, there was a shift in labor too, say with my father pushing on in age. He worked his whole life and worked too hard and terribly hard, I'd say, at that. And then when I was gone to college, he had a relief milker in every morning. So that was their system. The relief milker would milk every morning and Dad would farm throughout the day. And it was just the two of them. And when I came back then, I was just integrating into the system. But I could see that from what I learned in New Zealand was how to work as part of a team. And there was very much a kind of disconnect there already. And there was a lot of inefficiencies. And the traditional mindset is a lot different to our mindset of hours worked and things like that. Like my father still has no problem being out in the farm there at 11 o'clock at night, just pottering about, like just doing a bit while... And myself included, want to be gone out of the yard at 6 o'clock most evenings just to have a bit of life outside farming. So I'd say the main things I would have brought back to the farm was kind of efficiencies and just labor management and how to manage staff and be a part of a team and run rosters and things like that, which is, it's probably one of the most important things on the farm, because without staff, the farm is nothing, like, so you can't underestimate what they do for the business either.
Yeah, I suppose that's an interesting perspective there. A lot of the ideas people would have when they come into a farm, be it their own or someone else's, maybe to work in a managerial role, changes around breeding and cow types and systems and that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, kind of as you're talking about, labour is the thing that keeps the whole show on the road. And labour, of course, is tight and it does seem to be getting tighter every year. Well, into the calving, even though we're just into February, as you said, that's one of your KPIs, and kind of getting as many into the 6 weeks and maybe the first 3 weeks as well as possible. And this ties into the days in milk and a couple of those other metrics. What would be the main other KPIs that you'd kind of follow in when you're on the farm? What would you be keeping your eye on the most?
The three key things that we're all focused on is days in milk, 6 week calving rate, and tonnage grown per hectare on the farm. We've gone down in recent years. What I've changed a lot in the farm too, well, not an awful lot, but I'll say, but what's becoming the focus point of the farm is the sustainability aspect. We have 30% of the farm in clover now. We're going to put in solar panels on the sheds and things like that. So it's just a shift in learning how to farm with less fertilizer and less impact on the environment. And we've planted a few hedges and things like that. So that would be kind of the sustainability side that we'd be focusing on. But in terms of breeding, then I place an awful lot of emphasis on breeding, because I think, like I said, days of milk is one of the key measures. If you put your focus on that to get it right, the farm will take care of itself for a lot of the year. As for the grass, we're index threes and above for everything on the farm. So a lot of work would have been into soil indices over the years, pH is right and things like that. But I think I was lucky enough that I never really had to deal with poor fertility issues, whether it be the cows or on the grass, like, since Dad was so in tune with that over the years. So it's just kind of getting the breeding from, say, an 83 or 84% 6 week calving rate up to, I think we hit 94% last year there. And it was just really chasing those percentages, but it's a lot of work to gain those percentages. Like you can see, I could see why Dad was just kind of switches focus once it was satisfactory enough to the next thing that needed addressing. So I'm lucky enough that I have the luxury to spend the time at it.
As you said, it would be nice to walk into a farm maybe that wasn't performing the best. You could turn it inside out, but when the farm is already fairly well performing, those last couple of percentage points can be the hardest to just push up when performance is so high already. Just a bit on land type, large enough dairy farmer out the west, are you on forgiven enough ground? Yeah, where are you even looking at?
It's definitely important to address our land type, I think, because we're so dry. I wouldn't really know what to do with a wet farm, to be honest. But we've a limestone ground, and a lot of the land would have been bulldozed and reclaimed, I think, back in the 70s or 80s or so. I forget when Dad says it, but about 2 or 3 inches of topsoil would have been put across sheetrock, like, so it's very dry soil. If I give you a fencing iron now to go out across the road and tell you to put it down, you'd have three or four goes to try and put it down. So a rule of thumb, the minute the cow calves is she goes out to grass here. And it's very much, at the moment, it's very much on-off grazing. Like, you get them out. But yeah, there'd be very few days now I wouldn't get them out. And if I didn't get them out, I think it'd be another issue more so than the weather.
No, that's definitely a big help with the whole system you have and with the numbers you're running. Better not hold you up much longer. Better let you get back out to the cabin shed and have a look around. Thanks again for joining us, Enda. There were some great insights there into Enda Walsh and his farm down in County Galway. A lot of stuff going on, and it was interesting to see the path he took straight back to the farm out of college, but also getting in a bit of travel along the way. It sounds like it's definitely a busy week down in the Walsh's farm this week, and with a bit of luck, the weather will hold up both down in Arranmore and across the country. I'd like to thank Enda for joining us on the podcast, and to thank you, our listeners, for your time. Make sure to tune in next week of the Young Stock Podcast.
We're currently looking for young people across Ireland to interview on the podcast. If you know someone who's under the age of 35 that has an interesting story, career or experience that you want to share, then send on their name and get in touch with the Young Farmers Journal team. We want to give a voice to young people across rural Ireland. What issues are currently bothering you? Get in touch by emailing youngstock@farmersjournal.ie or send us a WhatsApp voice note to 086 83 66465.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.